It is a very emotional day. I worked with Jesuit missionaries in Honduras 40 years ago. And when Pope Francis was named the first Latin American to be Pope, the first Jesuit to be Pope, the first Pope to choose to honor St. Francis of Assisi by choosing the name Pope Francis, immediately it was apparent that he was going to bring some sunlight into my church. I went to Rome in February of 2017. You'll remember that Pope Francis spoke to Congress in September of 2015, and he talked a lot about the global refugee crisis. I do work on refugee issues as a member of the Foreign Relations Committee. And so I went to the Vatican to interact with Vatican officials, the Jesuit Refugee Service, and others. And I asked for the opportunity to visit with the Pope. It was a Wednesday, and that's the day of the week that the Pope traditionally will deliver an address to folks who come to the Vatican. If the weather's nice, it's outdoors in St. Peter's Square. If it's bad, it's indoors. It happened to be a nice day. There were, you know, probably 20,000 people there. He delivered a very powerful sermon that was read out in multiple languages. And then they had the Pope, I guess he does this every Wednesday. There's a small rope line of about 100 people, and he kind of works the rope line to visit with people. They put me at the end of the line, and they said, if you're here, when he gets to you, he doesn't need to rush, and you can actually have a visit. I watched Pope Francis work this rope line. It was married couples still wearing their tuxedo and bridal dresses. It was parents carrying children who were going to be baptized that day. The group right before me was a group of folk dancers from Argentina. And when the Pope realized they were from his home country, they had a really delightful conversation in Spanish. And then he turned to me. I'm fluent in Spanish. So I began the conversation in Spanish, telling him how much I admired him and was looking forward to visiting. The fact that I spoke to him in Spanish made him open up. And we talked for about 5 minutes about refugee issues in the Senate and in the Vatican. And then at the end of that conversation, he switched into English to say three words to me in English. And the words were, pray for me. And he gave me a rosary. I have that rosary here at home. That interaction, I will always, always cherish that.
Some very special memories there. Thank you for sharing those. How would you say that the Catholic Church has changed as a result of his papacy?
I would say that this Pope was most known for his humility and his compassion. I think during my lifetime, I'm 67, he was the Pope that was most known for his compassionate outreach to all kinds of people. You know, his statement early in his papacy when he was asked about a priest who was gay, and he said, who am I to judge? That simple statement sends such a powerful message of acceptance to people who had felt like they were disowned from the church. And so that compassion, whether it was to war-torn refugees or prisoners, he was in prison on Thursday, Holy Thursday last week, washing the feet of prisoners, as is done on Holy Thursday. But the other thing that I will say, in addition to the compassion, was his humility and his stern instructions to leaders that they needed to be humble. He used to lecture the church hierarchy, but it was really a lecture for leaders generally, saying that you need to smell like the flock. If you're a shepherd, you need to smell like the flock. You can't elevate yourself above those whom you serve. You can't use your title to distance yourself from those whom you serve. We're all leaders in our own way. It might be in politics or in our family or in a PTA or in a church council. We're all leaders in our own way. And what Pope Francis has done inside the church, but also outside the church, is send a message that a leader has to be connected and on the same level with the people that he or she wants to serve.
It's interesting that you mention his counsel to leaders. His final message before his passing was to call on leaders across the globe to, in his words, not yield to the logic of fear, which he says only leads to isolation from others. What do you make of those final words in that message from the Pope?
There was a lot in that final message, not yield to fear. He talked about the Easter message is that we are not made for death, we're made for life. He talked about the need to find peace in Ukraine and Gaza. A week ago, I was standing next to a bullet-riddled Orthodox church in Bucha, Ukraine, the site of a massacre at the beginning of the war in March of 2022. And I was thinking about you know, his message of we're made for life, not death. And he's declared this 2025 a jubilee year. And the theme of the year is Pilgrims for Hope. We're pilgrims. We're on a journey. And the journey has to be toward hope, not despair. It's a challenging message at a time that can seem dark, but he lived that way. That message came out of not only in his words, but in his just very being. And I think that's a message that I'm grappling with how to best follow it.